Hey, we're back, just like that. Now, Caitlin, you just were literally back from a swanky, chic rooftop party in the district. Is that right?
I didn't use the words swanky and chic. I just said I was at a rooftop party in D.C.
Well, it must be at least chic if it's a rooftop.
I mean, it was a nice rooftop. You could see the Washington Monument from there.
Super chic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing there are fancier rooftops that I have not had access to.
Now, for those that have not seen the Washington Monument at night, it's spooky because the red eyes, they fade in and out, right?
Yeah, it does look like it has red eyes because it's like these two little red lights kind of near the top of it that I'm not sure what they... Maybe it's something to do with like airplanes not hitting it or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what they're for, but it does look like it has a little face kind of at night because of
that. Yeah, and they fade in and out, right? So it's super spooky.
Yeah, they blink kind of a little bit back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So I don't know if it's spooky per se. I've never really thought of it as spooky. It's pretty at night, but like all of the monuments kind of are because they're all lit up and stuff at night.
Well, it's October, it's fall, it's crisp, it's finally cooling off in L.A.,
It's finally actually kind of fall weather some days here. Yeah. So
everything's nice. Spooky.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, even though, I mean, I don't particularly find October to be spooky on its own. October's the best month to begin with, but.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you.
Yeah, it's my birthday is in October, so. I've always liked October, but honestly, fall is, you know, the coming of fall is a good season because it's not grossly hot outside and you have like falling leaves and nice fall colors and you can maybe wear a sweater.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I look better in the cold weather than I do in hot weather.
Oh, I totally agree because I feel like my clothes are better.
Yeah, exactly. Hairdo better, skin better because your pores stay closed.
Yeah, you're not so sweaty in the fall, which is really I hate getting that sweaty. You know, in the summer when you're super sweaty, it just feels like you feel dirty all the time, you know?
Well, speaking of sweaty, the Bachelorette is doing their filming in Indian Wells, which is Palm Springs, right next to La Quinta, where...
Yes.
Claire,
I looked this up because I was like, she just said Indian Wells, like, I would know what that is.
Yeah, it was weird. We didn't get a Chiron that said the name of the establishment.
No, she just mentioned offhand that it is in Indian Wells. So then I Googled, and there is. I was like, I could definitely find out the name of the hotel for you, because it is online. But I did notice that it was really close to La Quinta, where the Claire-Tasha season happened.
Yeah, it goes Palm Springs, then it goes Cathedral City, then it goes Palm Desert, then it goes Indian Wells, and then it goes La Quinta. That's your, and then if you go east, then you hit Coachella in Indio. That's your Palm Springs geography lesson, folks. You only get that here on Bachelor Masters. I think EZR has muted us at this point.
She left. She's like, I'm going to go watch that Dodgers game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just peeking my head around. Well, yeah, I was like, let's make this a short episode about the Bachelor.
It's never about the Bachelor. All right, so I just looked this up. It's at the Renaissance Esmeralda Resort and Spa.
Fancy. Yeah.
There's always commercials for those, you know, like on TV, like, you know, 90 minutes from wherever you are, meaning Orange County, Los Angeles County.
Well, those are casinos, I think.
I think this is a casino.
Is it?
I think so. Caitlin. Tell us, Caitlin.
All right, I'm going to look it up because the quick article did not say whether or not it was. It just said, you know, this is the name of it. Let me see.
Yeah.
Casino?
As you're looking it up, we could, well, talk about how Nichelle, to me, seems like an awesome elementary school teacher. Now, when I say this as, like, you know, the good thing and the bad thing about teaching elementary school, which I never have done, but I am in contact with a few, is that you don't have to know shit about any subjects. If you are a great kid person and a great kind of like a good back and forther with people that are, you know, that you're trying to just empower or something, you're a good teacher. It doesn't like, you know, it doesn't matter.
I learned something. I learned that 5/4 is 1 1/4.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was teaching math. And I don't know, like, I don't even know what grade she teaches, but I can tell by the way she talked to all the men and was way more accommodating. That she's just one of these teachers that put her in a classroom. She doesn't know anything about the subject matter, but she will get through to them. That's all that matters. That's like 75% of it. The rest doesn't matter, barely, until way later.
I definitely got teacher vibes throughout a lot of her conversations with the men where I'm like, oh, yeah, you can really see the teacher coming out at certain times.
And
it makes sense. She seems like she would be a good teacher based on kind of the personality and the vibe. And you are right that, I mean, in like middle school teaching, you're never going to get super in-depth in all of these subjects, so... You just need to know enough to like.
You just need to read the textbook. I mean, this is not a knock on middle school teachers or like elementary school teachers, because a lot of them do know, but a lot of them burn out because they know so much, but they don't have that thing that's innate.
Right. Like Walter White, chemistry teacher.
Fake was story.
Burnt out.
Yeah, you've got to always get a Breaking Bad reference in on the podcast.
Became the biggest meth distributor in the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my problem with sometimes with these teacher types, and again, this is just because I know a lot of them. They're just not my type of people, because I feel like they're not realistic about things. Like they're always very idealistic, and. I enjoy watching her on TV. I don't have anything against them, like from far away. But if I ever get to know one, I'm like, stop being so peppy. What the fuck? Everything's wrong.
They are very,
you know?
Peppy.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm super pessimistic all the time, but I just don't think that they're realistic, and I don't like their "we got this" like attitude. That shit always bugs me. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I mean, that's the truth. Every time, I feel like they're unrealistic.
Elementary school teachers, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of grades. I think it does not end there. I think every grade has to have these people that love teaching. They don't care about the subject matter. They love teaching and they love kids.
Right.
That's not me.
There's a reason why I teach college and graduate students and not kids.
Right.
And it's because I would not be good at teaching kids and interacting with kids on a regular basis.
I think I'd be okay at high school, but nothing less than that.
Yeah, high school I could see, because it is a little bit more detailed. And like part of what's exciting about teaching to me is because I care about the subject, right? So like being able to talk about the thing that you're super interested in and try to get other people to be passionate about it too. Like Walter White. But it's not necessarily the vibe you're getting in like elementary or middle school. But I was curious, is fifth grade elementary school where you all are?
Yes.
Oh, it's middle school where I grew up.
Oh, and sometimes
that's why you're so much more mature than us.
that's exactly it. Yeah, no, that was like our breakdown was, you know, kindergarten was kind of its own thing. And then first through fourth is elementary. Fifth through eighth is middle. 9 through 12.
Whoa, look at us. That's just wrong. East Coast New Yorkers. We go to middle school.
That's just weird, because it doesn't feel even. It doesn't feel like, right here it's 6 grades, then 3 grades, then 4 grades. It just feels chunked up well.
Oh, and yeah, ours is 4 each time.
Yeah, correctly.
Hit the music, EZR.
What, not chunked correctly? Music?
No, hit the
music. We have that music.
Yeah. What music?
I got a story. It's not a very long one.
Oh. Okay.
It's hard to talk over this song.
Go ahead.
This is a very short story. I was student council president in fifth grade.
Whoa.
It was a pure popularity vote. There was no responsibility whatsoever.
So you're trying to humble brag that you're
I was the most
Craig was super popular in fifth grade.
Hence the
sixth
song.
Grade, Sixth grade, cut the music off.
Ah.
It all ended abruptly as the first day of sixth grade.
Oh.
I fell from my perch up here all the way to the bottom. I did not know how to fit in sixth grade. Everyone was wearing
a new school then? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, but I knew everyone. It wasn't like it's not like I moved.
No, but there is like a wash, which I like.
It's like a merging of schools.
With every new, see, that's what I'm talking about, Caitlin, is that once you go 5 to 6, there's a wash. Once you go 8 to 9, there's a wash. It's perfect.
That is horrible. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's similar to where I went in that, like, you know, there's more elementary schools than there are middle schools and stuff like that. Yeah. So you end up with bigger class sizes and things when you go in. I have a fifth grade story quickly.
Hit the music. Hit it.
No, hit it's it. Only Craig music.
Yeah, it's Craig music. It's not Caitlin music. So not quite as good, I guess, as being student council president. But you know how you used to have those fundraisers in school where you had to sell like magazines or candy bars or whatever? So I sold the most magazine subscriptions in fifth grade, which meant that I got the grand prize.
Yeah.
Gravity boots. Oh.
No. This is at the time, this seems so cool. And in retrospect, I'm like, wow, they really cheaped out on this. But the people who are like the top of each grade, and you can take one friend along with you, we got to take a limo ride where we watched Men in Black on the limo TV to the local McDonald's where we ate for free.
Wow.
That's okay, I guess.
I mean, it's like a 10-year-old prize. It's not bad. Yeah. But in looking back, I'm like, that didn't cost them like anything.
No. No, it really didn't. I mean, a limo for an hour, it's like $100.
Yeah, and then like just whatever the meals at McDonald's were for roughly 8 kids.
Yeah.
Oh, 8 kids. Okay.
So you took along 8 kids?
No, it was one from 5th grade, one from 6th grade, one from 7th grade, 8th grade, and then you each could take one friend with you. So it was 8 people total in the limo, and I just remember being like, this is the coolest thing ever. I did such a good job selling these magazine subscriptions.
What, are you still friends with the friend that you took along?
I'm trying to remember. I think I took my friend Lauren, which if so, she is also a professor at a different school in a different subject, but also went the PhD route. And cool. It turns out we have friends in common from like one of her best friends from her PhD program was my old coworker at my old job. And we're like, wait, you know her? You know her? And I was like, yeah, she was like my elementary and middle school best friend.
Cool. And you can prove it because you took her on a limo ride to McDonald's.
Yes.
That's how good of a friend you were.
And she was known in the school, like her popularity thing was that she wrote the school song that we had to sing at assemblies.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I don't understand. Like, see, that's the problem. I don't know how we got on this. You guys wanted to make it a short episode, and like, I have a lot to say about the episode, and now we're like going off on this. But see, those kinds of things. No, what are you talking about? No, those kinds of things. Those
we
kinds,
didn't
like,
have
you can
that
take
when I was
one,
in elementary school.
No, that's not what I was gonna say. I was gonna say that choosing one friend for these kinds of things would have, it's just a recipe for anger from another friend.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
That's what would have happened to me. It would not have been like, oh,
I had
fun,
so many
it's a
friends
fun limo
that
ride.
I wouldn't be able to
no,
choose one friend.
No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that it just creates a bunch of problems for everybody. I'm not saying me, I'm saying anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the real issue was like, how many kids can you fit in the limo? So they had to make some cutoff, I suppose, around that. And then they drove you home, like, after McDonald's, also in the limo. So they dropped you off at your house.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, they picked you up from school in the limo, so, like, everyone got to see you entering a limo, which is obviously the coolest thing ever.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
At the time.
at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get it. What's your story, though, EZR?
I don't have no story. I don't care. Well, first off, I'm not scouring my brain right now for it, because I'm trying to get through this. Carefully, methodically. Yeah.
Okay,
there's some
was
content
Ryan
in this
plant
episode.
Or not a plant?
Oh.
You're going right in.
Yeah. Go ahead and I guess we can like stew on it till we finish what we think. Because I had so many problems from, I didn't know he was going to be the guy they were talking about. But from his very first sentence, I was pissed at him. And I thought he would get away with a lot of it.
When he's riding on the tractor with his shirt off?
Here's what he said.
Oh.
I was born on the same ranch that my family still lives on today. I come with my lunch pail. I go to work. Driving tractors. Working with my hands in the fields. They taught me work ethic.
No, he doesn't
work on a ranch. He works at a winery.
Right. No, yeah. His parents own a ranch.
It's a winery.
His parents own a winery. He does not work the fields. He does not ride the tractor. He contracts migratory labor, underpays them, and reaps all the benefits. And he doesn't, there's no, like, he.
I know what you mean. He's not, like, a small farmer. You know what I mean? Like, he is not, where you're actually, it's just you and your family.
Well, he let it slip. He said something like Sonoma. He says,
San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose, where the property is.
San Jose, Sonoma is way farther up than San Jose, but like, he was kind of like, he said it when Michelle is what you're saying.
I don't have closed captioning, or like, I don't know how to turn it on or whatever. I wish I did, because he said, oh yeah, it's up in Sonoma. I swear that's what he said, which means it's a rich winery.
Well, I thought he did say winery at one point. He said this and this. But here's
the fact that he lives in San Jose, that just means, I mean, he's a tech entrepreneur, right?
Yeah, he doesn't really live on, like, his parents own that place. He doesn't actually work the land or live there. And for some reason, the phrase that he brings his lunch pail, like, really bothered me. I don't know what it was about that. It was like, you know, I bring my little lunch pail, like a real boy working at a real job. And I was just like, okay. Yeah, so you pack lunch?
It's supposed to evoke images of, like, you know, steel workers, like, hanging off the beams. And, like, for Bachelor fans, it's supposed to be this good hometown boy of yore. You know, and there's this cognitive dissonance going on with Bachelor fans who picture this romanticized, like, John Denver song, right? And that doesn't exist, really. Like, let's just say your premise is true, Craig, where, like, a family bought a farm. And it's like a small farm and they're farming it. That's
not my premise.
Oh, sorry. I think Caitlin said it. Someone said it. And then you guys were like, yeah, that still is money that it takes to buy that farm. That is not some, like, you know, Dust Bowl.
Yeah, I know. Neither Caitlin nor me said that.
No, but
just to clear that.
Caitlin, I think you said that, right?
I said something like, you know, it's not like a small situation where you're actually working there. It was pretty clear from his package that he doesn't actually work on the farm to begin with, but also that it's like a massive farm that employs many people.
I know, but even the idea of like owning a small farm or buying a small farm at this point is a huge, like, money. You are already from money. You are not some like I'm saying, like you know, whatever, Steinbeck era. That is the part that bothers me, because he's already lying. And, like, if he hadn't, right, like, to your point, Craig, like, did they set him up? Did they already, and that's why they had to go into all the rooms. Did they say, bring your notebook along, don't worry about it. Like, we'll work it in, or whatever it is, right?
Whatever producer figured that out gets an Emmy Award.
So, they hinted at this, you know, when they have the bios on ABC's website?
Yeah.
We normally look at them during our pre-episode.
Yeah, but we didn't do that because we're burned out.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, they have the three little facts that's like, oh, so-and-so does this. His said that he loves spreadsheets, which I think was a nod to what we're going to find out about him, which is that he has these massive folders of, there's some stuff in there. I mean, I'm getting a little ahead on this, but when Michelle goes up to the room to be like, I want to see the folders, and they briefly mention some of the things that are in it. Right. He says one of the documents is his dream girls and dating list.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's creepy.
So
is what it is.
That was a very, see what, okay. So what I'm getting at here is that, you know, if they hadn't gone out of their way to make him the villain, he would have already seemed like a villain for all the lies he's telling, even before any of that came out, right?
Yeah, his personality gives villain, regardless of the falters.
Yeah, and so there's a few things there. I do think he was telling the truth about his friends giving him advice, and he just printed it all out. Okay, like, that could be, you know, the way it was written sounds like, the way the notes were written sounds like he was, right, like, given those notes, right? But here's the problem with, this is the whole, like, chink in the armor, but also kind of like a little very, very frustrating. So he ended up getting his screen time maximized. So is it a disclaimer to not do this with a wink, you know, from the producers that, look, maybe you're a villain, but how famous is this guy now? So as always, Red Queen theory, they're always just building a bigger, better, more evil influencer manipulator. And, you know, imagine if someone tries to get on air doing this, but the opposite. Who's my dream girl? Michelle, you found my, nope, you found my diary. Oh, no. Like, you know, Connor style, right? Exactly like Connor B. Like, I didn't want you to see my, how, remember his humble brags at that AA meeting? He was like, I'm just like so sappy, love, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you're here for your career. Don't even do that.
Yeah, that AA meeting where he said he got really big into the piano bar lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah, where he's like, I can't believe I cheated.
Wait, you're losing me a little bit here.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that, okay, Brian, he got his screen time, a lot of it. And to me, it sounds like the producers are kind of giving a no, no, no to like everyone watching at home, but at the same time going, but if you did this correctly, how would you look? So their look to me is like not good. Like the actual advice they're sending out there is not good. And then at the same time, this is something exactly like what Connor B would pull in my eyes. And I'm going to bring him up forever because I will, like, he is, I hate him, like, so much, that he's the kind of guy who would bring fake notes that say, like, my dream girl, Katie Thurston, or, like, her middle name in there, and just to be like, I can't believe you found my notes, you know, like, that's what they're looking for, is for someone to do this correctly. Does that make sense, Craig?
Connor.
Hey now. If there's one guy I'm not, it's Connor B.
No, that's true. You don't not say that you're like Connor at all. It just cracked me up that UZR slipped and called Connor.
That's funny. Not quite following UZR. I mean, I get what you're saying, but they were setting him up for failure from the start, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm confused. They saw blood
they smelled blood and they went for it.
Yeah. I think here that the producers made a little bit of a mistake in playing this out, because if you really wanted to have a good villain storyline with him, keep him another few episodes and then have the folders discovered. It's even worse as like, oh my god, he's been leading Michelle on this whole time, and like, look at what a terror. Instead of doing it in the first episode, it's like, okay, we see him. We don't really know him at this point. And they tried to sell us very much on like, the things I hated about this, right, is like, we know that Ryan is the folders man from like close to the beginning of the episode. But even though we see Caitlin and Tayshia talking to Michelle multiple times, They don't mention this until after she specifically has spoken to him one-on-one and been like, he seems like a cool guy. And then they're like, he's the folders man. He's bad, you know? And I feel like if that's the route they wanted to go, they could have played this out longer and like fucked Michelle over a little bit more, but it would have been more dramatic.
Well, here's why I think they did that. They want to play Russian roulette. The producers want to play like Russian roulette with the contestants, because I think for the lay I don't want to say layperson, but like for someone who doesn't understand exactly how reality TV show works all the time, if you look like you care, if you as the producer look to the audience like you care about Michelle's feelings and that she only picks guys for the right reasons, then you randomly eliminate people night one that could have lasted a little longer. You know, it's not just for the drama. We care about her love story. Mm-hmm. And you do that. Sometimes you let it go. And sometimes, you know, you let it go long. You let it go four episodes. And sometimes you cut it off at night one. You don't know as the contestant. And that's why I'm saying that the producers are giving a, like, you know, a slap on the wrist publicly, like a public humiliation, but with a wink, because that could not be you. You know, it could be you, but it could not be you too. You could play that right. And I don't, and I, like, I'm not buying it is what I'm saying. They're not protecting her. They're just trying to sell us that they do care about her somehow.
Yeah. And I think they wanted a little bit of drama for this first episode, because the rest of it is not super dramatic.
Well, night ones, yeah, never are.
Yeah, it's usually just you're meeting all these people. So I think they were like, oh, we can make this into an interesting little thing that'll be like, oh my gosh, you know? I do think that you're right, EZR. I think those are notes that he had. I think at least some of them were made by, like, the friends who were giving him advice, and then some of them were his own, like, his dream girls.
I think
that's his. And a couple of the notes that Michelle was reading out loud, I was like, I don't know if he wrote this or the friend wrote it, where it was, like, the thing that was like, these are the things that are bad about you, Ryan. Like, you come across terrible in these ways.
Yeah. I was
like,
here, so I have this. Self-reflecting
or his friends?
I have this because I thought it was, like, super indicative of, like, to me, this is his narrative, is that dumbass fake ranch thing, right? Like, I own a ranch. And then this is the real narrative.
Biggest fault is that you are overconfident, arrogant. It's a massive turnoff to people. You come off as mean and demanding. Better to just keep those thoughts to yourself and express a positive outlook to others.
Whoa.
So, that's heavy. That does sound like something someone would write about.
That describes me like perfectly.
Friend's girlfriend writing that about you, that's rough, man. That is a rough read.
Although, to be fair,
he might have asked for it.
Your friend's girlfriends never like you, it seems like, because like you're, it's always a like,
if
it's like friends from college or something, they're never gonna like you because it's two different worlds colliding.
That's not true. That might be true for you.
I don't think that's true. I think, Greg, you know,
Greg's like, no one ever likes me.
Exactly. I did say it describes me perfectly, didn't I?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Look, I write notes. I don't think that this could be deeper. He could have just been the fault. Like, he could have just been someone who was asked to bring something like that. Everyone should have notes, right? Theoretically, like in the big picture, in the ex-co-host Chris's worldview, everyone should have notes. Everyone should ask, you know, how do I come off because I'm trying to appear likable on TV, right. And I need a lot of information about a show I haven't watched the past two decades, and. Okay, like that's in and of itself, I don't think a bad thing. And that's what he was trying to, you know, he was trying to take that route with her.
Right. Did you notice that he spelled bachelorette wrong?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
And that little illustration below bachelorette, apparently it's supposed to be a rose, but I thought it was a pitchfork.
Yeah. So, it's almost like the producers made the cover, you know, it's like, quick, we need a cover for these loosely notes.
So I think those are his real notes, but I believe that either he told the producers about this in some understanding that this was totally going to be fine, you know what I mean? Like, or something along those lines, and they were like, oh yeah, can't wait to have some scenes where we suddenly have Tayshia and Caitlin searching men's rooms, which is not a thing that normally happens.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason they would have done that unless somebody knew that he had
search them. A couple of guys' rooms to make it look like it wasn't
plausible,
just his. Yeah. But although the first one they went into, I totally thought they were going to break out like a black light in there.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, to channel Jay in L.A. a little bit, our friend of the pod, like, are we really living in a world where we can go through people's stuff now? Like, aren't we beyond that? And, it's only one action away from pulling out a blacklight, which would be totally awful, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I absolutely thought that's Ryan. Where they were going to go. And, like, I mean, I assume that they search people's luggage off screen before they come in to make sure that they're not bringing, like, you know, they're probably not allowed to have, like, entertainment or whatever, that they double check that.
Marijuana.
Probably. Yeah. So we don't have the marijuana in there. And so they knew about the folders either because he mentioned it to, like, a producer at some point, or because they did look at their suitcases beforehand.
Theory.
And they just, then they had to do it on screen with Tayshia and Caitlin so that we, the audience, knew that he had these folders in his suitcase.
Yeah, I like that. I like the theory that they go through everyone's stuff as, like, a security check.
But wasn't that in the book that you read, Craig?
Bachelor Nation?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of reading
Aren't you reading that right now, Caitlin?
Yeah, I haven't noticed that exact point yet.
My brain
just
flipped to you are, in fact, reading that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I am, in fact, currently reading it, but I am only, like, halfway through, so I don't remember a specific suitcase searching mention yet, but it would not surprise me at all because of that whole, you know, they can't have phones, they can't have books, etc.
Well,
so, like,
she publishes, like, sorry to interrupt you. She publishes, like, a contract. And it's just laden with, like, we can literally do anything, even things that state law says you cannot forbid, we still can do.
We could violate the Patriot Act, and it's fine.
Exactly. It's like, we can humiliate you, you know, it's like all language like that. So in there, it's got to say, like, we can go through your things.
I'm sure it has some sort of clause that says, like, we are allowed to search your belongings and your room, et cetera, et cetera. And that would make total sense to me that they do actually check that. And it's just never been shown before because they haven't found anything that would be a good plot device or whatever to have on camera. So then they have Caitlin and Tayshia searching these rooms. And he did seem...
Well, that's how they find every year someone with a girlfriend.
In their luggage.
Yeah. There's always something. There's all that.
Well, like,
I mean,
like, the girlfriend left a card, like, thinking of
a little wallet,
like, they look through their phones, you know, because they have their phones.
Yeah, they definitely look through their texts or whatever to be like, anyone you dating that we could bring up in here? Yeah, I think so. There was conversations online about, you know, were the folders a plant entirely? Like, and I don't think they were because I don't think he's a good enough actor to pull off the scene where, like, he's found out, and he did legitimately seem like he did not have any conception that that would come off badly or be wrong or against the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But he also
they told him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they told him, no, this is totally fine. This is normal because you never watch a show. This is totally normal to do.
Everyone would be like, oh, your folders? Yeah, bring them on in. Those are cool.
Yeah. Well, like, speaking of a, you know, someone who was cornered and tried to get out of it. There's Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Is not to be trusted. Like, how can you trust someone who only comes back around when you become a commodity, you know? And I love
when
ghosting comes back to haunt them. Craig.
Well, you have ghosting demons in your closet. I gathered that over the years. Yeah.
Have I been ghosted? I've been ghosted, I mean, by a man, by, like, a romantic situation.
Yeah, I guess so.
Once. And not really. Once? It wasn't really exactly that. But I just hate it because I've seen it happen to a lot of people, and now a lot, right? It happens, and I am so glad when those people get payback. Like, whoops, because they're trying to avoid a hard conversation. It's like, you can't avoid a hard conversation.
You mean about George Floyd?
No. What are you talking about? No.
That was his excuse.
Well, that was the reason he gave.
Right. Let's listen to it. Because she...
Okay, well, hold on. So you're saying you don't give him any slack because of what was going on in Minnesota at the time?
This is what's wrong. This is... him thinking he could kind of like, you know, everyone feels this way about this, so I'm going to use it. And if it was someone, if it was a white bachelorette, it might have been used to like a great end. But she said it perfectly. And this is all on Joe. This is why I purposely cut this, so that there is no, like, less Michelle, because this is not on Michelle. This is on this guy.
Well, it wouldn't make sense for him to like text
and
her.
And she said it herself. She says, "I lived through that too." Okay, you're affected by it, but that is not an excuse. You need to say, "I don't want." You need to say that. She says it to him in a super nice way, not the way I just said it.
Well, he should have texted her when he signed on to do the show, and been like,
I'm sure he thought that that's embarrassing to bring up. So I'm not
right. So maybe you don't bring we'll it give up, him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe things like fine.
Nope, those are red flags all over.
I think that the casting people knew about the ghosting situation probably advised him not to get in contact with her when he was in conversations, because you're not really supposed to do that, I think, anyway. But I'm a little bit on easier side in that the reasoning he gives makes sense, that, you know, he's going through something that made him be like, I don't have time for romance right now, right? But Michelle's comeback is basically like, well, it doesn't, you know, you didn't have to marry me or whatever, basically. Like, you could have just sent a text back that's like, you know, I don't have space for this right now because of what's going on. And he just didn't do that. But then he shows up when she's the bachelorette, which would make me a little suspicious that, like, he couldn't bother to send a text then or any time in between then and him getting cast. But he could be on the show, you know, so it's like, yeah, that would make me question his motives a lot if I were in her shoes.
Here's cut down basically what he said. And he says more than just that. That's another reason. If he had just stopped there, then I would be like, okay, he just, you know, that is his reason. But he says so many things that it's kind of like, dude, this guy is just pulling out anything.
Surprised to see you step out of that limo.
I wasn't even sure you were going to even remember, you know, in that situation, in that time. I had a lot going on. I had a property in George Floyd Square, right three blocks away. And I had a lot of shootings, murders, and a lot of things going on where
trauma.
You know, at the time, it just caused a lot of anxiety. And I didn't feel like I was in a place, you know, kind of
anxious,
you know, to, you know, open up to somebody. And I didn't know how to express those feelings with you and letting you know that, you know, I wasn't really opening up or seeing other people.
Not dating.
How do I know you're not going to shut down again?
Mm-hmm. It's something that I've been focusing on myself. Better understanding, you know, how my actions have affected others and how me not responding, you know, is lacking the communication skills.
Maturity.
Something that I need to learn to get better at. And that's something I've been working on. You know, gone to therapy, and, you know, it's something that I'm communicating with, you know,
exactly what we want.
Something
out of
I'm really, really focusing on.
What?
Like, what he's saying, isn't that exactly what we want men to say?
He knows that that's what women want to hear.
Okay. So if a guy doesn't say the right thing, he's wrong. But if a guy does say the right thing, he's also wrong.
Craig, the context here is that she's specifically asking,
and
why
gave
did you do
a,
that?
He gave
and he
a
gave
genuine
five,
answer.
Six, seven reasons.
And they're all could be completely genuine.
Okay, here's the issue, though. The issue is not breaking up with her. The issue is no communication.
And he said, I've been working on my communication because I realized that was a big problem.
Why do people ghost people?
I don't know. If I knew, I would never get ghosted.
Because they don't want a confrontation.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Like, as a person who has ghosted in my younger days, a lot of it was that I just didn't want to have a difficult conversation that would be like a confrontation kind of thing, that I was scared of that, right? That I was like, I don't want to have this awkward, uncomfortable conversation with them when it's easier to simply just stop talking.
It is like, to me, it's like, I don't know. To me, it's embarrassing. Like, I don't like getting more than two or three texts from someone before I respond. Or whatever it is. Text, calls, whatever. And if you're doing that, you know, it better be because the other person is, like, threatening you or something. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I would never intentionally ghost because It's rude. It's disrespectful to the other person.
Yeah, and he apologized. That's how I feel about it.
Huh?
And he apologized.
But he did it in the first place.
So, what, this is now a cardinal sin? It's something you cannot repent from?
It's disrespectful, and he never...
Yeah, he so you've never done anything disrespectful him. To your current partner?
She pulled him. Michelle pulled him. That's when he apologized. He did not come up to her, or he did not, like, text her before. Okay, let's look at the flip side of this.
Because he should have said something during his intro. You're right. Like, when he first met her, it would have been cute-er if he had said something that referenced the fact that he ghosted her. That would have been the right play.
Yeah, instead of letting her be like, you look so familiar, how do I know you? And then figuring out that she had been messaging with him.
And there was a mini gaslighting there, because he did say, I didn't think you'd remember. It's like, hell yes, I'd remember. You know, like, that is like a mini red flag right there. And okay, Craig, the flip side of this, and I don't know, Caitlin, if you saw this season, but Nick Viall's season, if you remember, Nick had a one-night stand with this woman who appeared on his season. Do you remember that? They had, like, met at another bachelor person's wedding.
Right.
And she was like, that was such a meet cute, even though it was, like, a one-night stand, that I thought I'd come on and, you know, see if this works.
Yes.
And isn't that what happened with Peter Pilot and Kelly Flanagan? They met... At a wedding beforehand, as well.
But I don't consider that as, like I was thinking about that example, too. But that one is a little weird to me, because these two people had sex. So it's, like, a little bit more intimate, the way ghosting can be hurtful, you know? According to Kelly and Peter, they did not have sex. They did not hook up. They just kind of, like, flirted and then left each other or something like that. They might have kissed. Do you remember this? So, like...
Yeah.
This one felt, like, more... Like, the Nick one is like, wow, like, that would be kind of awesome, right? That's the flip side of, like, oh, the ghosting or whatever. Anyway, I
think, Craig, what you're missing in this conversation is not just that, like, yeah, obviously it's a rude thing to do. I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world, or even means that you couldn't date the person in the future if they did explain it in a way that made sense. I think what makes it feel like a red flag kind of situation is the fact that she's the bachelorette now and on TV, and that's when he shows back up, right?
Yeah, okay.
Not that he texted her when she's still a regular person in Minnesota after ghosting her to be like, you know, oh, I'm sorry I didn't answer that and I had this shit going on. I'm ready to talk now. Are you still interested in that, right? It's more, yeah, the fact that he came into a situation where he gets TV time and potentially a lot of attention and, you know, like, SpawnCon or whatever else he's looking for, attention for his business of, like, renovating and flipping properties or whatever he does. And instead of it just being a regular, you know, like, oh, I thought about it, I regretted doing that, I am interested in you, I should communicate that. It's the fact of the TV and, like, the fame kind of stuff that would make me be like, oh, I don't think I trust him.
But, no, it's fine. I get it.
Craig, but what about the fact that you're saying that, you know, he's saying all the right things? Like, do you really believe that he thinks he's...
At that moment, a few minutes ago, I felt cornered on behalf of all men by you two seemingly indicating that if a guy lies, he's bad, which he is. But if a guy's telling the truth, he's also bad because he's probably lying.
But I'm saying it's not the truth. No. I am saying that he's not. I don't think he thinks he's telling the truth. That's what I'm saying. I think he's reaching for anything he can grab.
I think he was telling the truth, but I also agree with what you guys are saying, in that there's also other things that are bad about what he did.
Yeah. It just seems a little. And she handles it pretty perfectly, but except for, I mean, he's probably sticking around for some producer thing, because I think her, unless she really likes this guy, I don't think she would keep him around. Like, this is not a good sign. This is, to me, it's just as bad a sign as Ryan. Like, those are two bad things, you know? I'm sure she didn't see herself on the Dream Girls list, and ghosting someone means you are not on their Dream Girl list, right?
Yeah, got to ask him about the dream girls and dating list and where you fall on it.
Yeah.
You want to know something spooky? So this is kind of funny. The one girl that probably like legitimately ghosted me, it was after I took her to a Star Wars night at none other than Mark's house down on when he lived down in down by the river here.
Down by the river? Oh,
he lived in the bow tie.
Yeah, I think you meant up in NorCal.
No, Frog Town or whatever they call
Frog
it.
Frog Town, yeah, huh? Yeah. And then she's like, F this.
Kinda. We went on, I think, 3 dates. That was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, like, ghosted me. But it wasn't like a ghost me, never talk to me thing again, because we're still friends on Facebook. And she's chatted me on Facebook occasionally, like if she liked the picture I posted or something. It's very weird. But at the time, she totally ghosted me. Right around the time I took her to one of Mark's Star Wars nights.
Yeah. Well, like, it
she was like, that's not my scene. I gotta go.
Yeah.
But she seemed at the time to like it. It was very strange. Like I said, it was a... I never got a full explanation for it. Well, I guess you never do. But in this case, we stayed friends on Facebook, which is bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a no hard feelings... Like, you know, ghost.
That can be
it can be grays, right? Like, a gray area where there's kind of like a no hard feelings. It's not going to work out. But it doesn't have to be a talk. It can just be a feeling.
Yeah.
Just be a really delay in text. It can be a very, very long, drawn out thing. I just think, there's like, I'm just thinking of a particular friend of mine who doesn't really get subtle hints. So when this happens to her, she will text again and again, you know, to see like what's going on, like why. And it's not like she's not like a, you know, unintelligent or even a socially awkward person, but I feel for her and I'm like, this shit sucks. Like, how dare that person, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever feel that way. I'm not that kind of person, you know, like I'm not a how dare you. But it is that way. It's rude. It's rude. It's disrespectful in my eyes. And it's something younger people than me do typically. Anyways, that's where I'm at. And she should. And I think he is brought. Unless she really likes him, I think that's a producer push along, you know, like push up for whatever reason.
Mm. Yeah, I think they like the story of the fact that they've kind of met before. You know, they have this past connection and the trust thing. I do kind of agree with you that it does not seem like her vibe with the other men, that she seems very decisive in general, right? That, like, listen, that's not for me. I'm going to have to let you go. So unless she actually really likes Joe, and I mean, he's cute, but there's like a lot of cute guys out there. So,
whoa, that's a confident statement you just made.
on the season.
I do think there's actually this crop of men is better looking than the more recent. Like, it's better looking than Katie's pool and the Claire Tayshia pool.
All right.
My favorite line, and she cut this guy. Ugh.
Oh, my God. There she is. What do I do with my hands?
Was that the NFL football player guy?
He had the cutest outfit, too. Yeah, he had the ripped shirt. The ripped, suit. Arms, he ripped off the suit arm, so he just had his suit vest. That's the cutest look ever. You look like a cartoon character. You look like McBain, you know. You look, and she cut him. See, I just don't know. The Bachelorette is always so much different than The Bachelor, because The Bachelorette, I think most women, instead of doing an elimination, could probably do a top five on night one.
Mm-hmm.
And most men need to do an elimination. It's like the Bachelor franchise is catered towards men. So when they do this for women, I'm always like, are they really even caring about like most of these guys? Because I know me as a woman, I would not be able to bring half of them along, no matter what they look like. It'd just be like a top five because my brain can't work that many men. But men are naturally inclined. Well, cishet men are naturally inclined to, you know, this is my harem, you know, I could barely eliminate 10 out of 30. That was real hard for me. So, you know, it's just not, it doesn't, I wish they would retool it for a woman's just brain.
I'd be like, I need 8 fantasy suites to figure this one out.
Yeah, exactly. The balance they strike works to no one's advantage, right? It's like everyone loses in this so-called neutral land.
Except for Ari and Lauren.
Ari was way older for that. Like, you should have seen him on Emily's season. He was a dick. You know, like, they picked him at way past his prime on purpose.
Okay, do we have anything else to talk about, or should we go to fashion?
I got nothing.
Oh, I was going to say one thing before fashion, because this guy is my nemesis, and I think we're going to be talking about him a fair amount, because it appears from the upcoming clips that he will be somewhat of a villain, but my least favorite man, Peter the pizza-preneur, library hater, Peter.
He's a library hater?
Yeah, this is the guy. Yeah, he said in his 3 facts, they were things like, all right, he lists himself as a pizzapreneur, which means he owns his own pizzeria. That's what that is. Yeah. But his 3 things about him on that, like, 3 facts thing is that he considers himself a vino head. He's a foodie. Fine. And he hates libraries.
Yeah, that's an odd thing to say.
I thought you hated him because you grew up with these guys.
No, I mean, I absolutely do know guys like this from, like, Long Island or Staten Island kind of things. But, so he enters, and he's shouting, buongiorno, multiple times, while tossing pizza dough. But he's, like, making a real mess of that dough, and he eventually just drops it on the ground, mm-hmm. like, and leaves it there on the floor. So that's another reason to hate him. But, you know, outside of the obvious why I would hate somebody who self-proclaims to hate libraries, this man is trying to date a teacher.
Right.
In what way does he not think that this is going to be, you know, like, if he ever brings this up in front of her, that she's not going to be like, what? Yeah, no, yeah. Ew, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Where's he from?
He's from Florida.
Whoa. Who knows? Maybe he moved there for the politics.
I mean, yeah, I'm assuming that's a big
from
part of it.
New Jersey. I barely took notice. I mean, I guess you remember that from the bio breakdown.
Oh, yeah. He's been on my list of, like, I hate this man since reading the bio. Oh. But then his whole vibe of, like, you know, the screaming buongiorno, he's the guy who also brings, like, when they have one-on-one time later on, he brings her to cannoli and wine, and she says she's never had a cannoli before, you know? And his...
Yeah, it's not that common to eat those unless you live there. Like, I had 1 or 2 in my life.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a moment because I was like, huh. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're not from a incredibly strong Italian area. Yeah. But I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I grew up with cannoli just kind of being around as an option, you know, so they seemed very common to me. But yeah, this man is on my list, and we can tell from the previews that he's going to be like, getting in arguments with other
don't
men.
Don't tell me the previews. No.
Well, not anything specific. Just spoiler he's obviously alert. A troublemaker.
He gets
which
into
you could tell
arguments.
From everything about him. Yeah. The pizza dough tossing, the shouting buongiorno, the fact that he hates libraries. You know he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
So we're not spoiling anything. We're just reinforcing it with spoilers, I guess.
Not even real spoilers. Very vague. He's gonna get in some arguments.
Yeah, he gets into an argument. Spoiler alert.
Oh, okay.
Just when we don't have Aaron around, you know.
Yeah, there's always gonna be.
I mean, a new guy.
They have to get hotheads. That's the point. You know, you gotta.
Yeah.
It's on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to know Aaron's stance on libraries.
Thinking about this. I know a few people that are just kind of like, dude, I used to love reading and now I hate reading. And like, they just can't get themselves to finish a book anymore at this age for a myriad of reasons, mostly to do with their job or the fact that they just don't have time. And so they've become like almost anti-readers, and they have nothing against the law of, they don't have anything against the, you know, soul or like the spirit of books or libraries. They just
but they don't want their taxes going to libraries.
No, not like that. See, that's different. But they don't have that. But I am starting, I read all the time, and I'm like, dude, it is a luxury. It is a luxury to be able to read, even if you have a TV, because TV will let you just like turn off your brain. And so,
TV is a more passive experience.
Right, right now I have like a lot of sympathy for people who tell me they just can't read. They just can't get themselves to read right now. Like, you're right. Sometimes I can't turn off my brain to read. So like, it's, I'm like scared of getting there.
Anyways, I feel you. Sort of like, I don't read for fun a lot these days because I read so much for work.
Yeah.
That like, my tuning out time is watching TV. But I think there's a fundamental difference between being like, I don't read a lot, or I don't particularly enjoy reading, and being like, listen, I hate libraries, you know?
Weird. Yeah, it's just plain weird.
Yeah, it's just like a weird thing to say. It's like, well, if you don't use them, you don't use them, is kind of whatever. Saying you hate them implies like you don't want anybody to be able to use these.
Yeah, he doesn't want to pay taxes. Okay, we'll do the quick version of fashion here.
There was fashion?
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing. Take it away, Caitlin.
Yeah, you know I have detailed notes on these fashion items. Yeah, exactly. So I would say a couple of interesting things to point out. Michelle's opening night dress is a very pretty dress. It's that gold, it seems sparkly.
Dodgers won. Sorry. Okay, bye.
And the Dodgers win. There you go. Now, they still have to win two more games in a row.
But... Yeah, Craig, but let me just breathe for a second.
Hey, you wanted to podcast during the wild card
wanted
game.
To. No one wants to podcast yesterday. No one wanted to podcast in the morning. You guys pushed me here.
You wanted to podcast during the wild card game.
I had no choice. Again, I was pushed to the corner of where I could do it. I ended up going to a restaurant with a friend with a bunch of people, and it was fun. In your face, Craig.
That's why I didn't want to record during the
wild card. Sorry, it is the fashion roundup. Yeah, well, I want to record in the morning. How about we switch to mornings now? Huh, Craig?
But I can't do Thursday mornings.
Okay, Wednesday mornings.
I can do Wednesday mornings just fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. You hear that? Everyone hears that. Don't cut that out. We will record Wednesday mornings bright and early. I love
That's what we've been trying to do.
Oh, I'd never understood.
I don't
know
why we haven't been doing it. It's not my fault.
This week it probably was my fault because I could not record yesterday.
Okay, Caitlin, now you know Wednesday mornings are an option and probably our number one option. Okay. Got it.
Yes. No, yeah, which for me probably means Wednesday, like noon or early afternoon.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I should double check, but that should usually be fine. But yes, back to fashion. Michelle looked great in her dress.
Yeah, she's getting high marks for her dress.
Yeah, and it feels like
a very slim build, more slim than athletic.
Yes, she does. And I felt like, you know, she just looked beautiful. It was a nice dress on her, gold, sparkly, long, a few cutouts and kind of a low back thing happening. Just like, she looked great. Caitlin and Tayshia are, like on the Katie season, are wearing all black as a uniform on the first night.
Right. Because they can't compete with the...
Yes, they gotta look more background-y, I guess.
Yeah.
But they both look cute. I liked those dresses, actually. So Caitlin's is like a one-shoulder, one-sleeve short dress that has a kind of a poofy thing on that sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And Tayshia's is a black sequin mock turtleneck mini dress with tiny little shoulder poofs, and it's got like a stomach cutout. And then this sort of train thing. I don't know if you saw this when she was at the rose ceremony, but it's like a partial train asymmetric hem on one side.
Missed that.
You know I noticed this. Other interesting things to point out. I mean, I'm going to mention LT, the yoga guru, wearing the tuxedo speedo situation. And he walks into the house after meeting Michelle wearing his tuxedo speedo. And some guy says, my guy's got no pants on, which I thought was funny. But he's wearing like trouser socks and little dress shoes with it. And this guy gives me bad vibes, but he'll be around next week.
Yes.
This guy got eliminated, but Jack the former army officer is wearing a white tuxedo top, and he mentions his full name is Jack Russell, like the dog.
Right.
Why would his parents do that to him? I wrote that down. What? Why would your family?
Isn't Jack short for something?
Oh.
Jackalus?
Yeah, no, I can't think.
A nickname for something. It's definitely, maybe now it is. Like, now it's used as a regular name. But I thought it was always kind of like Dick, you know, Richard.
Jackalope?
I don't know what it's short for.
Jackford.
Like Jackford.
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with the J name.
But yeah, I just gotta say, I find that to be problematic for him and his family to be like, yeah, let's name our kid after a dog breed. You'd think that would come up in the naming situation, but you know, it's whatever. The last outfit that I thought was interesting to point out is Chris S. He's the guy who describes himself as a California Cajun, who also, he has like an opening introduction reel. He's a commodities broker who lives in LA now, and he says he loves to help other people, which is obviously a lie. He's a commodities broker. But what he wears for his like getting out of the limo sort of thing is he arrives in a school bus and he's dressed as a schoolboy, including the tiny little shorts and then like the knee socks.
Yeah, not a good look.
See, but I think he looks great. Honestly, I think it looks great. I think it looks like he's an AC. I love AC/DC.
Let's test your AC/DC knowledge.
What does that have to do with anything? I think they look so cute. My point is that I think he's lying about liking Michelle. That's what I don't like about.
Oh yeah, I don't think he's there for like attention and stuff. When he's not a person who's legitimately interested in her. But the tiny shorts was a move. And I do have to point out, it's not explicitly fashion, but we didn't mention it before. Entrance-wise, Clayton, the guy who's a football player from Missouri, is the one who said, and they showed this on some of the, like, Michelle previews, you're a teacher. I used to be a student. It's like, what? And he brings a ruler, like a yardstick ruler, so she can spank him. And she does it, but she doesn't seem like she's into it.
No. Well, they've been... this is not a top secret Reality Steve thing, but we all know that he's chosen as the next Bachelor.
We know. He's
and
the next Bachelor.
This is the line I draw. If the news is everywhere, and if I'm scrolling, and because of my skew to the Bachelor news, his face as the next Bachelor is on there, then I don't consider that a secret, right?
I don't think it's, it's a spoiler or a secret.
Yeah. So it's they've already chosen him, which is like kind of right. It defeats the purpose of like us having some kind of power in this.
Yeah, I do.
Much like regular voting.
Because we already know he doesn't win, right? Like we know.
Right. We know a lot.
He's
got
to go on it long enough to be like a person who you know about, and he's obviously going to get an amazing edit.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that like in America where we vote for the president, the person who gets less votes can actually win? It means our vote doesn't matter.
I said voting.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that when you have representative democracies and when you have a DNC that decides that, some things don't count. All of a sudden you're doing these other things in these other places. We're not going to have a burning conversation right now. But Jack is diminutive for John, Jacob, Jason, Jonathan, Jan, Johan, Johannes, and Joachim. But I guess it is a given name.
Yeah, I have a cousin-in-law named Joachim.
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 I totally forgot to mention this, but I feel like we should talk about him briefly. Nate. Nate is going to be a front runner.
Nate with a Y?
Nate with a Y, who has a very cute dog that appears in his introduction, who likes to road trip with that dog. He's a Canadian who lives in Austin, Texas. He has two little nose studs on the same nostril, and he was wearing a little earring. And
yeah,
Michelle
the earring.
Likes it.
Ew, I would she not. Yeah, I would not first rose impression that. Like, the earring.
I liked him in general, I'd say, is that he did seem like he's very charming. He's certainly cute enough, I think. I don't necessarily love the earring, and I didn't like, this is fashion related, when they were walking away for her to give him the first impression rose, his pants were very short, but I think it might be because he's very tall, and he, like, didn't get them custom made or whatever.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah, I was like, these pants are too short.
When guys don't know that they can, I mean, you guys know this. I bitch about this all the time. When guys don't tailor their pants.
Yeah, I think it was a buying mistake or something. Or maybe he didn't realize that they looked that short when you're wearing them. But they weren't like, you know, some of the men on the Bachelor franchise do like to wear a short pant, I guess, in general. But they looked too short for it to be a fashion move. More like a,
right.
You know, he bought the pants that were available, but he needs a longer inseam or something. That's the vibe I got. But yeah, he certainly seems like, to me, based on this episode, this guy is going far.
Cool. Yeah. Well, the first impression rose, right?
Always yeah. First impression rose, yeah. For a woman.
Yes. And I like him so far. We'll see how it goes. But I did feel like it was a little... His conversation with Michelle that ended up getting him the rose, right, is that he basically says he has walls up because he had the best childhood ever, but then his parents got divorced, and now his mom is going through another divorce with his stepdad, right. Who he says is his best friend.
Right.
And he's all, you know, kind of nervous and stuff. And I would find it charming, except that the fact that, like, he first says, like, when they sit down, he's like, you know, I don't want to talk about my family life because I know you have a great family life. And it was like, you only say that line if you very specifically want to talk about your family.
Right.
If you didn't actually want to talk about it, you simply would not mention it. It would only come up if she specifically asked. So I was like, it just felt a little calculated to me to be like, I'm going to play my move here, which is that, like, I've got reservations because I didn't have the best childhood, but I'm opening up for you.
Right. Yeah.
It's a move like Greg, right? But like, it's a lower level Greg move.
It's a lower level thing, and it remains to be seen if he's actually calculating most of the time or if this is just, I don't know, his opening move to try to get on in there or whatever. But that rubbed me slightly the wrong way, but it's not enough for me to, like, you know, hate him the way I hate the pizzapreneur.
All right. Short episode. You asked for it.
Yeah. Don't think it was.
That's a little
maybe
shorter.
A little bit shorter than our usual.
About 10, 15 minutes shorter. Okay, we will see you next
week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.